eyes, O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 10. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in the thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? But you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. I believe it was 2013, towards the end of the year. As a matter of fact, let me look at my date here. Yes, it was December 29th. It was a UFC fight, UFC 168. It was the rematch between Weidman and Silva, Anderson Silva. And I'm not a big UFC fan. As a matter of fact, that may have been the first UFC fight I'd ever watched. But I've got to say that the swagger that Silva had was kind of intoxicating. You definitely saw a man who was experienced and had some confidence as he entered the ring. But if those of you who are UFC fans are familiar with that fight, in that fight, Silva threw a kick that Weidman blocked, basically, and ended up just breaking Silva's leg right at the shin there, and just like kind of bending and flopping uncomfortably as he threw the kick. And it's very visible as you're watching this. I mean, cringe, and you just start feeling down for your leg to make sure you're all right. If you go and you can find the video or see the images. It was a dramatic break, to say the least. And like I said, I'm not a big UFC fan, but thinking of this psalm, that image came to mind in Psalm 10, verse 15. 15 reads, break the arm of the wicked and evildoer, call his wickedness to account till you find none. And really, this is what's going on in the description of Psalm 10. We talked about last week how in the Septuagint, 9 and 10 are combined together, but 10 opens with this description then of a wicked man. Well, first calling to God why he is hiding from this, and then the wicked man who's scheming, who is seizing the poor, who is oppressing those who are helpless, and who is causing injustice and evil and wickedness, and ultimately saying that God has forgotten. And of course, the psalmist says he has not forgotten. Lift up your hand and act. And so in verse 15, then we see this, break the arm of the wicked and evildoer, call his wickedness to account till you find none. Golden Gate translates it, break the strength. And he says, literally, in his kind of translation, in his commentary, says the second colon suggests that arm is a figure for strength, though no doubt the suppliant will be happy to be taken literally if necessary. So the idea of frustrating the plans of the wicked, and if I get a little passionate here in this, I hope you understand that this is something that requires passion. This is not a psalm for us to sit and read in a sense quietly and thoughtfully, but one that we experience viscerally at a gut level, that God would act, that he would break down the strength and stop them from doing the wickedness and harm that they are doing. Again, Golden Gate mentions that if there is to be a rescue, there has to be a putting down. So if the innocent, if the fatherless, if the oppressed, as it talks about in the psalm, are being harmed, someone has to put down the one doing the harm. Literally, the plea is for Yahweh to break the arm of the faithless, again, Golden Gate, in order to stop his strong arm tactics. And so if that strong arm is oppressing and working for wickedness and evil, God, break it. Stop it. This psalm actually has been in my mind for a couple months. Well, good night, almost half a year now. If you recall back in the beginning of 2021 to the January 6th, which many look to and ascribe different titles to, I've heard insurrection, I've heard protest, I've heard storming the Capitol. But if you recall on January 6th, the events that happened at the rally that was being held by the then president, Donald Trump, and there were those who went ultimately to the Capitol building and entered the building, entered several offices down to the Senate floor. It was a dramatic scene, and our church gathered together to pray, and one of the things we did was read through the Psalms and pray, and for some reason, Psalm 10, verse 15 was stuck in my mind. Lord, break the arm of the wicked. Those who are doing injustice, stop them. Maybe it's dramatic for that moment, and maybe you might ask, well, which side of the political aisle are you applying that to? To which I answer, there's no side of the political aisle that this psalm doesn't belong to. Father, those who are causing evil and wickedness, I pray that you stop them. Without going too much into my thoughts, and really this is reading this in Spurgeon's Daily Treasures, which, by the way, one of the things I really enjoy is this. It's Spurgeon Daily Treasure in the Psalms, and it's edited selections from the Treasury of David from Spurgeon that is kind of edited in the language updated by the editor Roger Campbell. But he says, here's the description of the wicked, or here the description of the wicked man is presented and the evil of his character traced to its source, atheistic ideas with regard to who is in charge of this world. There are consequences if you do not believe that there is a just and righteous judge who will ultimately hold these things to account. Again, Spurgeon. I'm going to read some larger sections as we close today. Spurgeon on verse 15. In this verse, we hear again the burden of the psalmist's prayer. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Let the sinner lose his power to sin. Stop the tyrant, arrest the oppressor, weaken the loins of the mighty, and dash in pieces the terrible. They deny thy justice. Let them feel it to the full. Indeed, they shall feel it, for God shall hunt the sinner forever. So long as there is a grain of sin in him, it shall be sought out and punished. It is not a little worthy of note that very few, I love this part, very few great persecutors have ever died in their beds. The curse has manifestly pursued them, and their fearful sufferings has made them own that divine justice at which they could at one time launch defiance. God permits tyrants to arise as thorn hedges to protect his church from the intrusion of hypocrites, and that he may teach his backsliding children by them, as Gideon did the men of Succoth with the briars of the wilderness. But he soon cuts up these Herods like the thorns and casts them into the fire. Athales the Milesian, one of the wise men of Greece, being asked what he thought to be the greatest rarity in the world, replied, to see a tyrant live to be an old man. See how the Lord breaks not only the arm but the neck of proud oppressors. to the men who had neither justice nor mercy for the saints, there shall be rendered justice to the full, but not a grain of mercy. Whew. Powerful stuff. And again, I believe that that is accurate, that that will ultimately be the reward that is given to those who cause injustice. Reading Golden Gay again on his final thoughts on the end of this chapter. He goes, "This involves asking God to act decisively in the affairs of the nations and not to ignore the plight of the vulnerable. It thus involves urging Yahweh to bring calamity on attackers and to make their schemes rebound on them so that they come to acknowledge that they are human." Again, this is this atheistic ideas for with regard to who is in charge of the world, as Spurgeon said. "It involves asking Yahweh to break the power of the faithless, to seek out their faithlessness until it is all gone. It thus combines concern for God's honor, for what is right, and for what is in their interests." And he closes out this way, "In the psalm as a whole, the name of Yahweh is regularly on the lips of the speaker, but absent from the speech of the wicked, who wants to eliminate Yahweh politically and theologically. But the intrusion of Yahweh into social relationships," he's quoting here another, I believe, Brueggemann, "into social relationships decisively transforms the prospects of both the wicked and the poor. The psalm itself is thus, again, a quote, a practice of alternative politics." And so if I close today, I encourage you to exercise the alternative politic, one in which the authority of God is recognized first and foremost, and the authority of men only in the roles and the ways that are granted to them by God. And so for us, the alternate politic is then one in which first sets God on the throne of all of creation and all of time and all of culture and humanity, and yes, all of the politics that may follow. According to Romans 13, the governments of this world are to serve as ministers for what? For the good of their people. And we pray that God then upholds the righteous ones who do good for their people and frustrates the wicked who do not recognize his truth and justice. And yes, break their arms. So I pray you have a blessed week, and may you prosper like the tree planted by streams of water. Thank you for listening. Find us online under the Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. And may the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks his presence to. With joyful song.